Hello, everybody, and welcome. With Bob Christopher, this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you, our listeners, hear, believe, and live in the good news of Jesus Christ. Our listener lines are open, and we'll welcome your calls now at 844-322-2742. If you have a Bible question, or if you're dealing with some difficult personal issue, let us hear from you. The lines are open, so call now, 844-322-2742, because it's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Welcome to Basic Gospel. I'm Bob Christopher. Richard Pfeiffer is here with me today, and we're glad you have joined us as well. We're going to talk about a wonderful passage out of the book of 2 Peter, and it really ties into the knowledge of God. And boy, that's what's missing out there in the world. That is the very thing that was missing in our lives before we knew Christ. We knew God existed. We could see that in creation. It just is obvious.
Yeah.
But what is he like? Does he care about us? Is he interested in us? Does he just want to just stomp on us and flatten us like a bug or something like that? What is God like? What is his attitude toward us? And it's a mystery to us until it's revealed to us in the person of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. But when we have this knowledge, when this knowledge of God is deposited into our lives, then it changes everything about us, and it changes everything about how we live, how we make decisions, how we move forward in life. And I think this passage in 2 Peter really talks about that. So let me just read it, Richard, and then you kind of take off and tell us a little bit of your thoughts as to what Peter is saying to us in these passages. So I'm going to read starting in verse 2. This is 2 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 2. May grace and peace be multiplied to you. Now, that's something we all want.
Yes.
Grace and peace. So may it be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So grace and peace, our experience of that is going to be tied to the knowledge mm-hmm. of God, to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now, his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who calls us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. Yeah. So the knowledge of God is woven into this passage very tightly, mm-hmm. and everything really revolves around the knowledge of God. If we're going to experience grace and peace in life, it's going to be tied to our knowledge of God. If we're going to experience the promises of God, it's going to be tied to our knowledge of God. If we're going to participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption that is in the world caused by sinful desire, that's going to be tied to the knowledge of God. So it's really a tightly woven passage around what God is like.
Yes.
As revealed to us in Jesus.
Unless, of course, you just tear it apart and say, okay, I want to know what he's given me and what I've been granted and what it means to have life and godliness. And we make up this bulleted list
yes.
of things. I mean, I used to do this. Okay, I've got to do this and this and this and this, or I have to know this and this and this and this, and completely missing. And even the way Peter puts this together, he starts off with the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And then he says, the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence, and then partakers of the divine nature. All he's done here is tell us to fix our eyes on Jesus.
Yes.
And when we do that, we get to know who it is that God is, because we see the glory of God in the face of Christ. And then all this stuff accrues to us. I haven't done a thing to earn it. I haven't done a thing to lose it. I can't buy it. I can't figure it out on my own. But it will just be poured into me to such an extent that even when I don't understand it yet, some of it will leak out of me into the lives of others. And the more I let it leak out, the more I let God overflow from me, the more I get to know him, because these are things I couldn't do on my own. I mean, think about who's writing this.
This is
Peter of all
for goodness
people.
Sakes, yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's
the one
Peter.
That perpetually had his foot in his mouth.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you are Jesus, you are God, and Jesus says, "Yes, this has been revealed to you." And then he turns around and says, "No, no, no, you're not going to do that. I'll see." And he says, "Get behind me, Satan." I mean, Peter had no idea what any of this stuff meant because he was trying his best.
Yes.
And that continued on until the Holy Spirit came. Why did Jesus die, raise again, and go back to heaven? So that he could give us the Holy Spirit so that we would know God and Jesus Christ. I mean, this is the only thing that makes us children of God. And unless we take this for what it says and not try to pick it apart, we will never quite get just how great these promises are and how precious they are and how powerful they
yes.
are. These are things that are life-changing on their own. They don't need me to change my life. God puts them into me by the Holy Spirit, and my life changes. Nothing better than this.
Yes, indeed. This passage so reminds me of what Paul writes to Titus and telling us that the grace of God teaches us to renounce worldly passions and to live righteous, upright lives
yes.
in this present generation. Well, I think our knowledge of God is that grace, that grace that is now teaching us. So we're now connected to God. We know him. He knows us. And in that relationship, and that's what Christianity is all about, it is a relationship. It's not a religion. So everything flows from this relationship that we now have with God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. So we're growing in our knowledge of God, and that knowledge of God is the very thing that teaches us who we are and then teaches us to say no to things that are contrary to who we are. So sinful desires, those are now contrary to who we are.
Yeah.
When we were lost, they fit
right in. That's
all
we had. Yeah.
That's who we were. Mm-hmm. But now in Christ, we're new creations. And so the sinful desires don't fit with who we are anymore, and they don't fit with our knowledge of God. And so that guides us in our decision-making. So when worldly temptations knock on the door, we can recognize them for what they are. And by our knowledge of God, we escape. We learn to renounce. We learn to say no and choose to live righteous, upright lives. Now, that choice is simply keeping our eyes on Jesus
yeah.
and allowing the righteous one to live his righteousness through us. So I think these two passages really are parallel.
Yes, absolutely.
In wonderful, wonderful ways. And the thing that is really cool about this is that we get to participate in the divine nature. So John tells us that the divine nature is this: God is love.
Yes.
That's who he is. That is the divine nature. Well, when we grow in our knowledge of God, that's what we get to participate in. We get to participate in loving God and in loving others as God in Christ has loved us. And in doing so, we're escaping those sinful desires that are telling us to treat people in a completely opposite way.
Yeah.
So it all ties to the knowledge of God. Who is he? Does he care for you? Is he interested in you? The Bible answers with a resounding yes. The gospel tells us, indeed, God loves you.
Yeah.
This is Basic Gospel. I'm Bob Christopher. Richard Pfeiffer is here. Calls are coming in right now, but there's still plenty of space for you. 844-322-2742. This is important month, significant month in the life of Basic Gospel. It's important June every year because it's the end of our fiscal year, and we're going to close the books, and hopefully we're going to close them, and the bottom line is going to be the color black, not the color red. So we need your help to make that happen and to continue to reach out with this good news, to continue to disseminate the true knowledge of God in the person of Jesus Christ. There are people all over the world that are receiving that knowledge because of the support that people give to Basic Gospel. So we need your help. It's urgent. It's critical. If you can help us with a gift, maybe $50, maybe $100, maybe $1,000, whatever it is, if this ministry and your, I guess, reasons for giving are aligned, we ask you to join with us so that we can continue, so that you can join with us in delivering this good news through our radio broadcast, through all of our internet partners and social media platforms, telling people that God is love, telling people that Christ died for their sins, that their sins, if they're in Christ, have been forgiven once and for all, that Jesus' sacrifice was sufficient, that they can have life abundant and free by grace through faith in him. These are the things that people need to hear. These are things that people need to know. These are things that people need to believe and trust as truth. Why? Because that truth will set them free. So come aboard. Join with us. Help us get this good news out. And your gift this month will be vitally important to help us continue to do this for the remainder of this year. So give generously. All the information on how to do that is at basicgospel.net. Just click the donate button and follow all the instructions. We have a special resource that we want to put in your hands as our way of saying thank you. It's my book entitled Love Is, and it really is an in-depth look at the very essence and nature of God, the fact that he is love. So please give generously. Let's meet this financial need and in this fiscal year in the black. Well, again, this is Basic Gospel. Richard Pfeiffer is here. I'm Bob Christopher. We're glad you are here as well. Let's go to our phone lines, Richard. We're going to start in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania with David. David, you're on the air.
Hi, guys. Hey, my question was about fixing your eyes on Jesus. But I think you answered my question, so I'll throw another one to you.
A curveball. You're throwing a curveball at us, huh?
No, the scripture that says, put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
The garment of praise?
For the spirit of heaviness. I think it's in the Old Testament. It's maybe
that would be an Old Testament passage.
I was curious because the other day you guys were talking about the full armor of God, and I was just curious, you know, what you guys think of that phrase there, you know.
Well, my first take would be that it's intended to paint a contrast. Because all of us have bad days. You know, we get down, we get low, we make mistakes or whatever, and depression can start. And one of the best ways to get out of that is to, instead of looking at yourself and the terrible things you've been doing and how badly your life is hurting, if you praise Jesus for who he is and what he has done, that will change your point of view and begin to pull you back out of that navel gazing that results in the depression. I mean, David.
So that would go along.
Yeah, David of all people understood
that. Fixing your eyes on Jesus, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, great.
Another aspect of that, David, is I think the nature of faith, our trust in the Lord, is expressed through praise and thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. I think that's what faith looks like, and when we're grateful. That certainly is going to counteract that spirit of heaviness. I love what the Amplified Bible says in there. It talks about it being a disheartened spirit.
Yeah.
So how can we lift a disheartened spirit through gratitude? And certainly when we look at the blessings that we have in Christ Jesus, regardless of the circumstances that we're going through in life, we can always praise him. We can always give thanks. Why? Because our sins are forgiven. doesn't matter what's going on around me. It doesn't matter what life is throwing at me. My sins have been forgiven by the blood of Jesus. I'm righteous. I'm holy. I'm blameless. Not because of anything that I've done, but because of what Christ has done. So when we allow those truths to really grip our heart, then we're going to see our hearts responding with that attitude of gratitude, and that's going to lift up that disheartened spirit. So, David, by the way, that passage is Isaiah 61:3.
Okay, great. Hey, thanks, guys, for the uplifting. I really appreciate that. God bless you both.
You're welcome, David. Okay. Thanks for your call. Well, that opens up a line at 844-322-2742. Let's go to Denver, Colorado, and talk to Sean, listening to us on KRKS. Hi, Sean.
Hey, brothers. How you guys doing?
We're doing well. What's on your mind today?
Well, just a little bit of a comment, I guess. I was just talking to a woman, an older woman who's very educated, stuff, when we got on to talking with the Bible and absolutes. And it's just, I've learned, it's just so sad that people have all this education. And she said she'd read stuff, because I didn't push on her. I was trying to be nice, and we had a good conversation. Just, I said, well, what do you think about absolutes? And I asked her, do you believe Jesus Christ healed people, brought people, that he died and so on? And she didn't come out and say yes or no, but she just basically ran around and says, well, if that's what you're willing to believe, and so on, so on, whatever. And it was just sad that you have these people that have so much education, but yet they still don't want to hear or see truth, you know.
Yeah.
And I know I got to pray for it. We pray for them. And it's just, so I'm 56 years old. I'm still learning. Believe me, I've slacked off over the years. But I got a good church I go to. But not just that, but I got to be disciplined. But we got to be willing to want to hear truth, you know.
Yeah.
And basically,
you know, Sean,
I
was going to say, Sean, that often gets down to worldview. And that's a word that has really, you know, come into the fore of late. And what that means is how you perceive things. You know, why are things the way they are? How would you explain them? And in this current age of science and reason and all of those sort of things, we've come up with a worldview called materialism. That's basically saying, hey, we have an explanation through science, through what we see, what we observe, for everything. And if we don't have an explanation yet, then science is going to uncover it in the future. So any talk about miracles, any talk about things that are a cause outside of what we see, this material world, then folks like that are going to be suspicious of it. They're going to reject it. Why? Because their worldview tells them to reject it. So
the thing is, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Sean.
When I had asked her, and I said, well, you know, I told her, there are people out there, not because of what we believe, but they backed up with logic and common sense, and there are facts to back this up. And basically, she just said the same thing in so many words. She said, well, that's what you want to believe, or she hasn't seen that. And I told her, well, check it out. She says, I've read the King James. I've read this, I read that. And I've learned over the years, if a person really wants to know, and you probably heard this, I've heard many Muslims over the 2 years ago, whatever, have come to Christ because they looked at it, they searched it out, they said, okay, I'm going to check this out. And over that time, Christ made himself known to them, and they said, okay, you're real, God. But when I hear someone like this lady says she's checked out the information, she's checked the evidence, but she still didn't see it, it's either one of the two things. They either saw the evidence, they still chose to believe, or they just never really looked into it thoroughly. But you know, basically, yeah, God will reveal himself to you, however he does. But once he reveals himself, you still have that choice to reject them or accept them. Just sad that, again, people that have the knowledge, and it's good to have that knowledge, but you got to back it up with logic and common sense from someone named Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's right. Well, Sean, gosh, I really appreciate your heart and your willingness to engage in those conversations and not shine away from that. So keep allowing the Lord to lead you down those paths and open up that mouth of yours and speak truth. And you know, you can just trust him with the results of that.
And if you could, and also pray for me too. I was reflecting on your caller from Philadelphia. I sometimes struggle with that, because we try too much to do it in our power. I mean, I did accept Christ years ago, but I find myself sometimes slacking off and then getting into this, and I'm like, I said, well, am I a Christian? I said, no, I did believe. I have repented. So just pray for me. I struggle with that sometimes.
Well, let me do this, Sean. Let me do this, Sean. We have some resources that can really help you in that area, you know, really shoring up your assurance of salvation, understanding exactly what that means to be saved and exactly what Christ did to save you. And when you understand that, it really makes a big difference in your assurance of salvation, your confidence as a believer in Christ. So let us put some resources, a package of resources together, and put those in your hands. And then once you get them and read through them and listen through them, we would love for you to call us back, okay?
I have a great church I go to. They love me. They've been there for me. And it's just sometimes I struggle with that too. But we try and do it in our strength instead of doing it in his strength.
Yeah, that's right. Well, we're gonna send you some resources to help you with that. And sure appreciate your call. You hang on the line, Sean, okay?
Thanks for what you guys are doing. God bless you guys.
Hey, you too, Sean. Great to hear from you. You hang on. Well, Richard, we had this question that came to us from Peggy, who watches us on YouTube, and she starts the question with this: faith is the assurance of things hoped for. So that's the definition that we see in Hebrews 11:1. Well, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, there's a passage where Paul speaks of two men who have shipwrecked their faith. So she's asking, does Paul mean that these two have lost their assurance of salvation by listening to religious fraud? She wants to compare Hebrews and what Paul is saying there. So what does that passage in 1 Timothy chapter 1 mean?
Well, a lot of 1 Timothy is Paul telling this young man, Timothy, that he's going to be getting all kinds of bricks thrown at him because of people who want to be in charge for their own reasons. They're going to accuse him of things. They're going to bring contrary teaching in, et cetera, et cetera. And these two guys that he mentions right off the bat, I mean, it's right in chapter 1, he describes them as having shipwrecked their faith. And that's, I think, a Pauline way of saying they have demonstrated that they weren't saved in the first place.
Right.
They claim to believe certain things, but because it didn't go the way they wanted it to, well, they've started pushing back the other direction. And so he says that he's released them over to Satan so that they will learn the truth.
Learn
not to blaspheme. And so he's not saying that they're lost forever. He's saying they need to know what the cost of this is so that they can come back to the true God and say to Jesus, I really need you. I don't need my own thing. I need you. And so it's completely consistent with the Hebrews statement.
Absolutely.
If you have this assurance, it's because you know God. If you don't have that assurance, it's because you don't know God. And just that easy.
And it's interesting now he says that he turned them over to Satan so they may learn not to blaspheme. Well, Paul knew a lot about blasphemy.
Yes, he did.
He said, I've blasphemed the name of the Lord, but God took a blasphemer and turned him into a proclaimer of the good news of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
So everything about this gospel revolves around the person of Christ. So Paul did not reject that. He embraced Jesus as his Lord, his Savior, his very life. Well, Hymenaeus and Alexander, it says they rejected this. And so in rejecting, they shipwrecked what had been delivered to them. And that was the good news concerning Jesus. They rejected it and continued their life of blasphemy.
Mm-hmm.
And so Paul said, we're turning you over. So hope that helps, Peggy. Thanks for your question. That was a really good one.
Yeah.
I love how you're thinking through these passages. That is really, really encouraging. Well, Richard, thanks for being here. Thanks to all the Basic Gospel team for the great work that they do to get this program on the air each and every day. We'll be back tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then.